Welcome back to the Stock Market Options Trading Podcast. My name is Eric, and in this episode, I want to talk about the current range of the market, the S&P 500, and how I look at trading these ranges and some of the trades I've been in and out of the last couple of weeks. But before we get started, you need to know that I'm not a financial advisor of any kind. I'm just an independent retail trader, and everything on this episode and in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. And as you know, there's a lot of risk when trading options, especially in this market where nothing seems to make sense on a daily basis. And this is why I primarily trade defined risk credit spreads on SPX and on various timeframes as well. And when you've defined your risk, like in a credit spread or debit spread, it makes it a lot easier sometimes on deciding how many contracts to trade. And you don't have to worry about relying on stops, because if a gap goes against you, especially in this market, we're getting a lot of wild intraday movements as well as gaps. They're all over the place. So if you're using stops, sometimes those don't really work because you go past your stop and then that order gets filled. So defining your risk is one way to reduce your risk ultimately, but also control that risk. And it really helps you kind of sleep better at night, because you know that there's a certain amount that you can lose, like a max loss, for example. So now in episode 74, I talked about the current range of the market, and we're actually trading relatively in the same place we were a couple weeks ago. So episode 74 came out on April 11th. Today is April 25th, so this was 2 weeks ago. And in that episode, I talked about a trade I was in and some of the levels I was looking at. So I want to talk through how I managed that trade and then actually a couple more trades that I've taken since then. Now, you can get more details on why I entered the trade on that particular day if you want to go back and listen to episode 74. But in a nutshell, the market had been trading in a range, and I talked a little bit about the move we had in February that we peaked around 4,200 or so. We made a move all the way back down to 3,800 by mid-March, and then we've rallied all the way back up to not quite 4,200 since then. So I'd already been looking at this range. Well, I'm going to call it 3,800 to 4,200. And one of the metrics that I like to look at on a daily basis is the call and put wall from spotgamma.com. I've had Brent on the show a couple times, and I'm not going to go into what those are. I think I did an episode on that if you want to go back and look. It's called What is a Call Wall, if you want to get more technical about it. But at the time, the call wall, which is going to most likely be a resistance level if you get there at the time, was at 4,200, and the market was trading at 4,109. So we were about 80 or 90 points from the market. So the idea that I had at the time was, I'm going to sell a call credit spread, you know, to get a decent credit up somewhere in that area, with the idea that if the market did rally up, it should act as resistance. And one of the things I've been doing lately is, when I do enter a trade, I like to leave some room for the to add to the trade if the market goes against me. So instead of going in with a full position and trying to manage a stop or something, I go in with a smaller position, and sometimes I don't get quite the credit that I really want. But if the market does go against you and you're out of the money, as the stock, or in this case SPX, rallies up to your short strike, if it gets there, the credit you can receive is a lot greater. So if you're really confident in your levels, then that's one way you can minimize your risk, by simply starting with a smaller position. And if the trade works out in your favor and it does what you think it's going to do, then you can just take those profits. That's something I've been doing. And that's what I did on April 11th. That particular trade, the market was trading at 4,109, we'll call it 4,110. And I went ahead and sold the 4,175, which wasn't quite up to the call wall. I thought there was a chance we could rally back up and maybe retest that area. And that's exactly what the market did, actually. 3 days later, we were retesting 4,175. But the interesting thing happened was, 3 days later, even though the market moved up to that level, volatility had dropped, and I was actually able to close that trade for a small profit 3 days later. So we were trading at 4,110. I opened the 4,175. We actually rallied up to 4,161. So we were very close to my short strike. But then as it came back down. We closed around 41.40 and I was still in profit. So at this point, the market was showing some bullishness and I would rather take that profit. It was small. I think I sold the spread for $1.50 and was able to buy it back for $1.20. So that was more of a strategic maneuver to say, hey, the market is moving higher. If it does move higher, I could look to reset and open a new trade, which will get me more time because we are trading time here, selling time. And if the market moves higher, I could maybe get my strikes higher. So on the on Friday the 14th, 3 days later, I was able to close that trade for a small profit. But then the very next day, the market started to push higher again. And the call wall was still sitting at 4,200. And this is one of the ways that I look at these levels is if the market's moving up, but the call wall is not moving up, it's implying that there's not a lot of call buyers that are speculating, if you will, for the market to go higher. So at that point, I get a little bit more confident in the levels itself. So the very next day after I took that profit, I was able to sell on Monday the 17th, I was able to sell another call credit spread. And this was about 9 days out. The first one was 10 days out. So 9 days out, I was able to actually sell the 4,200. So I got to the call wall and I could still get a decent credit. I got $1.30 again with the idea that if we pushed up to 4,200, then I could add another spread or two at, you know, a price closer to two or 250 if it gets to that short strike. And so I sold a 9 day spread. And then 3 days later, the market was a little bit lower and I was able to buy that spread back for 45 cents. So again, I sold a spread for $1.30 and was able to buy it back for 45 cents. That's well over 50% of the max profit. And I want to talk a couple things about this particular trade. So first of all, one of the questions I got from one of the members was, hey, the market's going higher. Why are you selling a call credit spread? Well, a call credit spread, as you know, or maybe you don't know if you're new to options, it's basically a bearish to neutral strategy. And the idea here is that when you sell a call credit spread, you want the market to stay at or below your strikes. In this case, the strikes were at 4,200 and the market was trading at 41, let's call it 4,150 or so. So it was about 50, 60 points out of the money. And the reason why, then this goes back into the range bound trading idea. We are not in an uptrend from a sort of macro perspective. The market has been in an uptrend since mid-March, but we're reaching the potential resistance area. So I am going into this with a range-bound mindset. So when the market starts to rally and you get that gamma in your favor, you're actually able to sell the call credit spreads and you're able to get a better credit farther away. And the question was, well, why would you sell a call spread when the market is rallying? Well, in short, you get a better entry. I mean, it's just that simple. It's just like when the market starts to go down, calls start to decrease in price. So you're selling something that, yes, it is decreasing. However, if the market goes against you, then all of a sudden you're going to be underwater very, very quick. So I wanted to just kind of touch on trading these. When I'm trading range-bound markets like this, it's a little bit more of a contrarian trade is how I look at my entries. I would prefer to sell a call spread on a rally and sell a put spread on a sell-off because that way I can get a better credit, especially on the put side. When the market's going lower and you sell a put spread, volatility is increasing. So you're going to get a better credit and you're really going to be able to get farther away from price. And that's ultimately what you're trying to do, get some distance between price and your short strike. And there was one other trade I actually closed today for a profit. And this was one of the exits that I was like, well, should we hold it? It still has a lot of time left and I could get some more money, but I've been really, a little bit more diligent on taking profits quick, especially when the market goes in your favor. So the trade we exited today, we actually opened up on the 21st, which was, I believe, Friday last week. So the market had pulled back a little bit, but we're still sitting at 41.30. And I was able to sell the 41.75, 41.80 call spread for $1.50. That's kind of my sweet spot. I like to get somewhere between $1 and $1.50 for these spreads. And these spreads I've been looking at, the ones that have been kind of a good fit for me right now are like 9-10 days out. And this allows you enough room. In this case, I had about 40-50 points and I was getting, you know, about a third of the width of the spread. So that's something that TastyTrade sort of teaches. If you can get a third of the width, I'm not quite getting a third, but the idea is if the market does rally back up, then I can get a better credit and your net credit becomes a little bit better. But in this case, on Friday last week, I didn't know this, but at the time, the call wall actually had shifted down from 4,200 to 4,150. So this is actually a little bit of a bearish development, and that's something I've been talking about over on the blog about how, you know, last week was options expiration and the market really kind of held in there with a lot of the options that were expiring. And I don't want to get into the mechanics, all that. Someone else could probably explain that better. But we really were expecting a pullback this week, and we're actually starting to see that today. So on Friday, we opened that call spread. I sold the 4175, 41.8, got $1.50. And then technically it's 4 or 5 days later. There's still 6 days in the trade, but we were able to close that spread today for 85 cents. So we didn't quite get 50% of the max profit, but this is a concept that the exit is something I think, you know, you need to consider. Sometimes we always look for, okay, you're targeting a certain percentage of the max profit. So let's say you sell a spread for a dollar, and if you can get to 50 cents and you can close that trade, then you're able to close the trade early and you remove the risk and all that stuff. And one of the things I consider is how much time is left versus how much value is left. So in this case, there were still 6 days left, but I'm already close to 50% of the profit. This was a 10-day spread. So, you know, I could very easily hold on to that trade and, you know, maybe it expires worthless. I don't know. There's a lot of economic events going on this week. We have big tech earnings after the bell today. I think it's Microsoft and Amazon. Don't quote me on that. And then we have GDP, inflation, some other reports this week. So you got to understand that when you stay in that trade, you're leaving risk on the table, even if you're up in the trade. So we were up in this trade relatively quick. And the idea is like, well, do I, you know, it's an unrealized gain, which can easily turn into a loss if some magical report comes out and all of a sudden the market's like, okay, great, the Fed's going to pause and, you know, all the you know, speculation about what can happen around these events, the market could easily find support here at 4,100 and go right back to 4,200. And then I'm going to be underwater. And so I like to just take the risk off the table. It's not even about the profit. Sometimes we got a pretty good profit quickly here. So I didn't get 50%. I'm going to call it 40% of the gain, but I'm out of the trade. And guess what? I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight knowing that I've had 3 10-day trades in the last 14 days. So think about that for a minute. Even though I was trading 10-day spreads, one of them was 9 days, I had 3 10-day spreads I closed for a profit in 14 days. So just because you're trading a 10-day spread or 7-day, whatever time frame you're looking at, doesn't mean that you have to stay in that trade and you can only trade that one trade for that period of time. So I had 3 trades. These weren't overlapping. I opened one, closed it for profit, open one, close it for profit, open one, close it for a profit. Again, 10-day spreads, 3 of those in 4 days. So my average time in trade was maybe 3 or 4 days. So for me, it's more important to get out of that and remove the risk. And then as the market shifts, I'm able to sell another 10-day spread and collect the theta from those additional days that I'm adding. Instead of sitting in a 6-day spread, there's 6 days left on the spread. Instead of waiting and 6 more days, I can open a new 10-day spread, and that gives me a little bit room and a little less gamma to deal with the volatility. But again, part of it is avoiding the economic events. And we have a few this week. I think, like I said, inflation, GDP are coming up. It's too many things to kind of list. It's a big week in the market. So I was happy to take the profits on this sell-off we're seeing today. I'm recording this about noon on Tuesday, the 25th, April 25th. And the market is hitting 4,100 and we're down almost 1%. So I'm going to reset. We'll see if we rally back up. I'll be more than happy to sell another call credit spread, but let's see where the market goes. I hope this helps. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me over on the website at stockmarketoptionstrading.net. And we'll see you in the next episode.